menorah and a nativity set. And up until this time, they'd done this year after year, and it was a nice display right in the rotunda there. But in 2009, the Freedom From Religion Foundation requested to have their sign added to the displays, which says, "At this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens the hearts and enslaves minds." And then since 2009, all displays have been removed from any state government grounds, although they do allow a holiday tree in the rotunda each year. Christmas can be confusing because we get different personalities confused as to what Christmas is all about. We consider one dominant personality that is supposed to come down the chimney and bring toys, earthly toys, while in reality we worship the one that rose up from the grave and brings to us eternal life. Sometimes I think that when we come to Christmas time, it's nice to celebrate the birth in the manger, but I need to combine it with the idea of Christ upon the cross, because the Christmas story is of his coming, his incarnation, but the cross is of his completed work and the purpose of his coming. So when we come to 1 John chapter 4 this morning and we're looking at the different things, we're told that we are to test the spirits, to put them to the test, to discern them. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, it talks about this: by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. We want to remain within the realm of the spirit of truth. We don't want to be taken in and deceived. There's things we have seen online, advertised. Melody and I, as we're online, we see some things. And there's been a couple of things that we've done over this past year. We thought, oh, that would be a great toy for our grandson. And so we order it. And it never comes up. It never gets delivered. There's no refund. There's no connecting with the people. It was just a scam online. And so we've become even more discerning as to how we might order something off of the internet. We want to be discerning of that which is true. And in this passage it says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Now there's this concept that is out in the world that says if you believe, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not, you just need to believe. You don't have to have any facts or anything, you just need to believe, and that will make it true. That's not biblical faith. That's not what the Bible is talking about when it talks about believe. When the Bible talks about believing, it says, this you have seen, this is what you know. I have never in my life seen Jesus the Christ, not with my eyes. But I have seen him work in my life. I've seen him work in the lives of others. I've seen him change lives. And based upon what I do know from the scriptures, based upon what I do know from the testimony of other people, that he is real in their lives, I believe in Jesus Christ. Based on what I can prove, then I trust beyond what I can see. And that is biblical faith. And so what the author John here is saying to us is, based upon what you know, he starts out this gospel, this epistle with the statements, these are the things that we have seen, we have heard, we have handled with our hands. He was there, and he is a witness to these things, and he says, these things are true, and I pass these things along to you. Based upon these things, this is what we can know. For sure. And then he gives us a test. This is a way to know. And there's four aspects to this test I want to just touch base with you on this morning. And that is, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And basically, he's going to tell us that this is the test, and if something doesn't add up under this test, if it doesn't measure up, it's not true. Now, I know that sometimes we think that, well, the name of Jesus is Jesus Christ. That's not his name. In fact, if you met Jesus prior to his Christ aspect, prior to the beginning of his ministry, when he was growing up, he would be called Jesus Bar Joseph. That's how you would know him. My name is Todd Wallace. That's how you know me. His name was Jesus Bar Joseph. Jesus Bar means son of Joseph. And that's how he would have been known in his early years as he was being raised up at home. In fact, when we read through the scriptures, we come to Matthew chapter 13. And as Jesus is out preaching, people see him and they say, oh, wait a minute, now I know this guy. They say, Matthew 13, verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son, referring to Joseph? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? You know how it is when you are raised in a church? And you go back and you see those wonderful people that have been a part of your life. And some lady will say, oh, well, I knew him. I changed his diapers in the nursery when he was raised up in the church. No, and I remember how I used to teach him in Sunday school, and he had the cutest little questions that he would ask. Or I remember him from youth group. That's what was going through with Jesus, and they're saying, we know him. In fact, Lee Strobel identifies that at the time of Jesus' life, 1 in 11 males were named Jesus. Jesus is the name of the man. Jesus is the name of the man. Christ is his title. Lord is his relationship with those that submit to him. Savior is what he came to do. Jesus is his name, the name of the human man that came incarnate to us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted or tested in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was put to the test in his humanity, just like you are, just like I am. He's been put to the test. So Jesus is the man. If somebody says that Jesus was not human, they fail the test. I cannot explain to you how Jesus is both God and man. It's a statement of fact. It's proved by who he was. I don't know how it all happened, but there's a lot of things I don't know. And I still use them. I've got a cell phone. I have no idea how that thing works. But I still use it. And I don't even use the full capacity on the thing. I have no doubt about that, but I still use it. Even though I don't understand how it all works. But Jesus was the man, and Christ is the anointed of God. That's what Christ is. Christ is a New Testament word for the Old Testament word Messiah. Jesus, the man, is the Christ. Let me rephrase that just a little bit or enunciate that. Jesus is the Christ, not a Christ. He is the Christ. He is the anointed of God. He is the Messiah. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There is one Christ, one Savior, one avenue of our salvation, and that is through Jesus the Christ. Now, I often, you may have picked up on this a little bit, I will often identify and not say Jesus Christ, I will say Jesus the Christ, because I want people to pick up on that. I want people to understand that Jesus Christ is not his last name. Christ is who he is, the anointed of God. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, Jesus was either deceived, a liar, or he's telling the truth. If he's telling the truth, there is no other means of salvation. If he is deceived or a liar, there's no reason that we should put our faith, our trust in him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is the man. He is also the Christ. He is the anointed one of God. And he is also incarnate. It's interesting in this passage, in this test here, not that Jesus Christ was born, but that Jesus Christ has come. And in referencing that, he's not saying that Jesus was born on Christmas Day, but God the Son became incarnate by the birth process through Mary and was born on this earth. But he lived before. He is not reincarnated. He is incarnate. He is God the Son who has existed from eternity past to eternity future. But for a time, he became incarnate. He became God-man on earth through his birth to Mary. In John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. I know they're kind of separated there, but it's interesting when you tie them together. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, the Greeks understood the concept of Word. That's the expression. So this is the expression. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was the expression of God. So it's referring, every scholar looks at this and says, well, that's in the context, that's referring to Jesus Christ. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is unique. He is the incarnate God the Son. My grandson is 4 years old, and he's having a lot of fun at this time of year with Christmas, and he's giving my daughter and her husband fits. Because he's asking some great questions. Because he's asking about how can Jesus be God and he's born in human and yet still be God. And for 4 years old, he's asking these questions. I know some people that have been in church all their life never asked questions like that. So this is just amazing. And these are complex issues. There's some things that I just have to take by faith based on what I know. Because, again, I can't explain to you how God became incarnate, but I can tell you that it is true because God revealed it and Jesus proved it. He proved it by the sinless life that he lived. He proved it by his sacrificial death upon the cross. He proved it by his resurrection from the dead. He proved it by his ascension on high. And all of those things fulfilled the promises of God, and the promises of God continue to say that someday he's coming back. Test the spirits. He is come in the flesh. He is uniquely the God-man. There is a false doctrine. This is a false doctrine being put up here right at the moment, in case you've seen this. Because there are some people that say, well, Jesus was born human. He was born naturally. There was nothing unusual about his birth. He's just another man, but that he did so well that at his baptism, the Christ Spirit came upon him. And he was then Jesus the Christ during his ministry life. And just before his death upon the cross, the Christ Spirit departed from him. And he died upon the cross. That's what's called blasphemy. Heresy. The Scripture says, in Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, the Christmas story. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Jesus did not become a king. He did not become a Savior. He was the King. He was the Savior. He is the King. He is the Savior. He will always be the King. He will always be the Savior. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he was born Christ. He remains Christ. He's always been Christ, the anointed of God. The angels did not come and say, "Oh, well, for today is born to you a Savior who is going to be in some time anointed to be the Christ because of his good works." He is the Christ. He was born that way. Going on ahead to the end of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 45 to 47. Jesus speaking to them after his resurrection, then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ, would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." He is uniquely the God-man. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's the saving work of Jesus. That God the Son became incarnate, lived a perfect life acceptable unto God, paid a substitutionary death, sacrifice, by his death upon the cross. God accepted that payment, raising from the dead. He's ascended on high and coming again. That's the Christ that we celebrate at Christmas. We are to test the spirits. And if we have teaching that does not measure up to what the Scripture says, Jesus has come in the flesh. Jesus is the Christ who has come in the flesh. And we don't measure up. If somebody is not teaching these truths about who Jesus is, this is core, foundational Christian doctrine. And there can be no compromise on this. If somebody has compromised this doctrine, they are not to be listened to, they are not to be followed, because it is a spirit of deceit. It is the spirit of the Antichrist that runs rampant in our culture today. As we celebrate Christmas, I'm sorry, I got one more here. I forgot about this. Matthew 1:23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated is God with us. That's the word and testimony of God. That's the evidence of the life of Christ. That's the purpose of our salvation. And that's the joy of Christmas as we celebrate God incarnate, coming into our world, into our life, so that he could restore our broken relationship with him, so that we could have communion with him and eternity with him. this morning as we approach the communion table. This is a time to celebrate the work that Christ accomplished upon the cross. This is a time to celebrate the work that God has done to redeem us unto Himself. This table isn't our table, it's God's table. And this morning, it doesn't matter your relationship with me. This morning, it doesn't even matter your relationship with this church. What matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you can identify that Jesus is the Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're commanded by your Lord and invited by us to participate this morning. If you don't have that relationship with Christ, I would ask you, please do not participate this morning. This is matzah, a cracker, unleavened bread. That's all it is. It's juice. That's all it is. But it is a memorial of the broken body, paid in full the penalty for our sins, and the shed blood of Jesus Christ that establishes us in a new covenant relationship with God, whereby we are His children and we can call Him Father. That's the work that Christ accomplished upon the cross. His birth, His unique birth, His glorious birth, was not the end.